more likely to make impulsive decisions that ignore the potential consequences of your actions. Stay aware of your good moods and the foolish decisions these moods can lead to, and you'll be able to enjoy feeling good without any regrets. Self-awareness strategy number 10. Stop and ask yourself why you do the things you do. Emotions come when they will, not when you will them to. Your self-awareness will grow abundantly when you begin seeking out the source of your feelings. Get in the habit of stopping to ask yourself why surprising emotions rumble to the surface and what motivated you to do something out of character. Emotions serve an important purpose. They clue you into things that you'll never understand if you don't take the time to ask yourself why. Most of the time, it really is that easy. But when you're left to your own devices, the days can just whiz by with little time to contemplate why you do what you do. With a little practice, you can trace your emotional reactions back to their origins and understand the purpose of your emotions. The surprising thing about this strategy is that just paying attention to your emotions and asking yourself good questions like these are enough to help you improve. Can you remember the first time you reacted like this and with whom? Are there similarities between then and now? Can anyone evoke this reaction in you or only specific people? The better you understand why you do the things you do, the better equipped you'll be to keep your emotions from running the show. Self-awareness strategy number 11. Visit your values. The plates of life are constantly spinning above you. You juggle projects at work, never-ending meetings, bills, errands, emails, phone calls, text messages, chores, meals, time with friends and family, the list goes on. It takes great amounts of attention and focus to keep the plates from crashing to the ground. Maintaining this balancing act keeps your attention focused outward rather than inward and on yourself. As you run around struggling to check your daily to-dos off your list, it's easy to lose sight of what's really important to you, your core values and beliefs. Before you know it, you find yourself doing and saying things that deep down you don't feel good about or believe in. This could mean you find yourself yelling at a coworker who made a mistake when you normally find such hostility unacceptable. If yelling at your colleagues runs contrary to the beliefs you wish to live your life by, catching yourself, or being caught doing it, is bound to make you uncomfortable and even unfulfilled. The trick here is to take the time to check in with yourself and jot down your core beliefs and values. Ask yourself, what are the values that I wish to live my life by? Take a sheet of paper and separate it into two columns. List your core values and beliefs in the left column and anything that you've done or said recently that you aren't proud of in the right column. Is what you value in alignment with the manner in which you conduct yourself? If not, consider alternatives to what you said and did that would have made you proud of yourself, or at least more comfortable. Repeating this exercise somewhere between daily and monthly will be a huge boost to your self-awareness. Before long, you'll find yourself thinking of the list before you act, which will set the stage for making choices you can live with. Self-awareness strategy number 12. Check yourself. Self-awareness is generally an internal process, but there are a few instances in which the outside holds the clues you need to understand what's going on inside. Without question, how you feel is reflected in how you look. Your facial expressions, posture, demeanor, clothes, and even your hair all say important things about your mood. Physical appearance is more straightforward. What you wear sends a pretty clear, established message about how you feel. For example, wearing old sweatpants and ratty t-shirts and having disheveled hair every day tells the world you've given up, while overdressing for every occasion and never missing your weekly haircut lets people know you're trying too hard. Your demeanor also says a lot about your mood, but the message often gets twisted. If you're meeting someone for the first time and you're feeling insecure about how you'll be received, like many people, you may tend to be aloof and a bit standoffish or get overzealous. When you find yourself in similar situations, it's important to notice your mood and consider its influence upon your demeanor. Is the look that you're projecting to the world one that you've chosen, one that your mood created, or one that you tend to lean on by default? Certainly, what you project reflects how you feel, and it's up to you to understand it. Taking a moment here and there to check yourself will allow you to understand your mood before it sets the tone for the rest of your day. Self-awareness strategy number 13. Spot your emotions in books, movies, and music. If you're having trouble looking within to spot your emotional patterns and tendencies, you can discover the same information by looking outside yourself at the movies, music, and books that you identify with. When the lyrics or mood of a song resonate with you, they say a lot about how you feel. And when a character from a movie or book sticks in your head, it's probably because important aspects of his or her thoughts and feelings parallel your own. Taking a closer look in these moments can teach you a lot about yourself. It can also provide a great tool for explaining your feelings to other people. Finding your emotions in the expressions of artists allows you to learn about yourself and discover feelings that are often hard to communicate. Sometimes you just can't find the words to say what you're feeling until you see it in front of you. Listening to music, reading or listening to novels, watching films, and even looking at art can act as a gateway into your deepest emotions. Take a closer look the next time one of these mediums grabs your attention. You never know what you'll find. Self-awareness strategy number 14. Seek feedback. Everything you see, including yourself, must travel through your own lens. The problem is, your lens is tainted by your experiences, your beliefs, and, without question, your moods. Your lens prevents you from ever obtaining a truly objective look at yourself on your own. Often, there is a big difference between how you see yourself and how others see you. This chasm between the way you view yourself and the way others view you is a rich source of lessons that will build your self-awareness. Self-awareness is the process of getting to know yourself from the inside out and the outside in. The only way to get the second, more elusive perspective is to open yourself up to feedback from others, which can include friends, coworkers, mentors, supervisors, and family. When you ask for their feedback, be sure to get specific examples and situations, and as you gather the answers, look for similarities in the information. Others' views can be a real eye-opener by showing you how other people experience you. Putting the perspectives together helps you see the entire picture, including how your emotions and reactions affect other people. By mustering the courage to peer at what others see, you can reach a level of self-awareness that few people attain. Self-awareness strategy number 15. Get to know yourself under stress. The mountain of stressors in your life is constantly growing. Every time your stress tolerance rises to new heights, you, or those around you, push and push until you take on more. All of the high-tech gadgets at your disposal aren't helping either. If anything, they just seem to speed up your life. If you're like most people, you already recognize some of the warning signs that pop up when stress is looming. The question is, do you heed their warning? You will benefit tremendously from learning to recognize your first signs of stress. The human mind and body, at least when it comes to stress, have voices of their own. They tell you through emotional and physiological reactions when it's time to slow down and take a break. For example, an upset stomach can be a sign that nervousness and anxiety are overwhelming your body. The indigestion and fatigue that follow are your body's way of taking some time off to rest. For you, intense stress and anxiety may create an upset stomach, while for others, the physical signs can be a pounding headache, canker sores, or their backs going out. Your self-awareness in times of stress should serve as your third ear to listen to your body's cries for help. Your body speaks volumes when you push it too hard. Take the time to recognize these signals and recharge your emotional battery before your stress causes permanent damage to your system. Chapter 6. Self-Management Strategies. Self-management is your ability to use awareness of your emotions to actively choose what you say and do. On the surface, it may seem that self-management is simply a matter of taking a deep breath and keeping yourself in check when emotions come on strong. And while it's true that self-control in these situations is a sizable piece of the pie, there's far more to self-management than putting a cork in it when you're about to blow up. Your eruptions are no different from a volcano. There is all sorts of rumbling happening beneath the surface before the lava starts flowing. Unlike a volcano, there are subtle things you can do each and every day to influence what is happening beneath the surface. You just need to learn how to pick up on the rumbling and respond to it. Self-management builds upon a foundational skill, self-awareness. Ample self-awareness is necessary for effective self-management because you can only choose how to respond to an emotion actively when you're aware of it. Since we're hardwired to experience emotions before we can respond to them, it's the 1-2 punch of reading emotions effectively and then reacting to them that sets the best self-managers apart. A high level of self-management ensures you aren't getting in your own way and doing things that limit your success. It also ensures you aren't frustrating other people to the point that they resent or dislike you. When you understand your own emotions and can respond the way you choose to them, you have the power to take control of difficult situations, react nimbly to change, and take the initiative needed to achieve your goals. When you develop the ability to size yourself up quickly and grab the reins before you head in the wrong direction, it keeps you flexible and allows you to choose positively and productively how to react to different situations. When you don't stop to think about your feelings, including how they're influencing your behavior now and will continue to do so in the future, you set yourself up to be a frequent victim of emotional hijackings. Whether you're aware of it or not, your emotions will control you, and you'll move through your day reacting to your feelings with little choice in what you say and do. The remainder of this chapter presents 17 specific strategies, things you can start doing today, that will help you manage your emotions to your benefit. Each simple strategy is targeted to an important element of the self-management skill. This carefully crafted set has been honed through many years of testing with people just like you, and are proven methods for increasing your self-management skill. As you master each of the strategies and incorporate them into your daily routine, you will develop an increased capacity to respond effectively to your emotions. Of course, no matter how skilled you become in managing your emotions, there are always going to be situations that push your buttons. Your life won't morph into a fairy tale devoid of obstacles, but you will equip yourself with everything you need to take the wheel and drive. Self-management strategies. 1. Breathe right. 2. Create an emotion versus reason list. 3. Make your goals public. 4. Count to 10. 5. Sleep on it. 6. Talk to a skilled self-manager. 7. Smile and laugh more. 8. Set aside some time in your day for problem solving. 9. Take control of your self-talk. 10. Visualize yourself succeeding. 11. Clean up your sleep hygiene. 12. Focus your attention on your freedoms rather than your limitations. 13. Stay synchronized. 14. Speak to someone who is not emotionally invested in your problem. 15. Learn a valuable lesson from everyone you encounter. 16. Put a mental recharge into your schedule. 17. Accept that change is just around the corner. Self-management strategy number 1. Breathe right. If you're like most people, you breathe in short, shallow breaths throughout the day that don't fully contract your diaphragm to fill your lungs, and you don't even know it. What's to stop you? It's not like you're suffering from the lack of oxygen, or so you think. Your lungs are built to provide precisely the amount of air your body needs for all of your organs to function effectively. When you take shallow breaths, which is any breath that fails to make your stomach protrude outward from the influx of air, you aren't giving your body the full amount of oxygen it needs. Your brain demands a full 20% of your body's oxygen supply, which it needs to control basic functions like breathing and sight, and complex functions like thinking and managing your mood. Your brain dedicates oxygen first to the basic functions because they keep you alive. Whatever oxygen remains is used for the complex functions, which keep you alert, focused, and calm. Shallow breaths deprive your brain of oxygen, which can lead to poor concentration, forgetfulness, mood swings, restlessness, depressed and anxious thoughts, and a lack of energy. Shallow breathing handicaps your ability to self-manage. The next time you're in a stressful or emotional situation, focus on taking slow, deep breaths, inhaling through your nose until you can feel your stomach swell outward and grow tight, and then exhaling gently and completely through your mouth. As you exhale, go ahead and push that breath out until you have completely emptied your lungs. If you want to make sure that you're breathing correctly, place one hand upon your sternum, the long, flat bone located in the center of your chest, and the other hand upon your stomach as you take in breaths. If the hand on your stomach is moving more than the hand on your sternum as you exhale, then you know that you're getting enough oxygen and fully inflating your lungs. If you practice this proper breathing technique, it will grow comfortable enough that you can do it in the presence of other people without them noticing, which is handy for when you find yourself in the middle of a difficult conversation. Anytime you choose to breathe right and flood your brain with oxygen, you'll notice the effects immediately. Many people describe the sensation as one of entering a calmer, more relaxed state where they have a clear head. This makes breathing right one of the simplest yet most powerful techniques that you have at your disposal to manage your emotions. In addition to engaging your rational brain on the spot, breathing right is a great tool for shifting your focus away from intruding, uncomfortable thoughts that are hard to shake. Whether you're overcome by anxiety and stress because of a looming deadline, or fixated on negative thoughts and feelings about something that happened in the past, making yourself breathe right calms you down and makes you feel better by powering up your rational brain. Self-management strategy number 2. Create an emotion versus reason list. You may not always realize it, but there are many times when you allow your emotions to sway you in one direction while your rational mind is tugging at your shirt to go another way. Whenever you find your mind having a battle of the brains, emotional versus rational, it's time to make a list that distinguishes the emotional side of the argument from the rational one. The list will allow you to clear your mind, use your knowledge, and take into account the importance of your emotions without letting them take control. Creating an emotion versus reason list is simple. Draw a straight line down the middle of a page to make 2 columns. In the left column, write what your emotions are telling you to do, and in the right column, what your reason is telling you to do. Now ask yourself 2 important questions. Where are your emotions clouding your judgment, and where is your reason ignoring important cues from your emotions? Your emotions will create trouble if you let them lead you around without any reason, but your rational thoughts can be just as problematic if you try to operate like a robot that is without feeling. Your emotions are there whether you acknowledge them or not, and the emotion versus reason list forces you to get in touch with them by putting them down on paper. So, the next time a sticky or stressful situation gives you grief, grab a sheet of paper and give yourself a few quiet moments to organize your thoughts and make your list. With the list in front of you, it will be much easier to see whether you should allow the emotional or rational sides of your thinking to have more say in your decision. Self-management strategy number 3. Make your goals public. Walking your talk is hard, especially when life is always throwing you curveballs. Sometimes, the biggest letdowns are private ones, when we fail to reach a goal or do what we set out to do. There is no more powerful motivator to reach your goals than making them public. If you clearly tell other people what you're setting out to accomplish, be it friends, family, or a spouse, their awareness of your progress creates an incredible sense of accountability. Much of self-management comes down to motivation, and you can use the expectations that other people have of you as a powerful force to get you up off the proverbial couch. If your boss assigns a project, or your running partner meets you every morning at 5 a.m. sharp, you're simply more likely to do something when other people are involved. Select those people whom you know will actually pay attention to your progress. When you share your goals with someone, ask him or her to monitor your progress and hold you accountable. You may even give them the power to dole out reward or punishment, such as the university professor we know who pays his colleagues $100 anytime he misses a deadline on a research article. As you can imagine, he is the rare individual who hardly ever misses a deadline. Self-management strategy number 4. Count to 10. You can thank your kindergarten teacher for this one. It was way back then, sitting on the classroom rug with your legs crossed, that you learned one of the most effective strategies for turning the temperature down when your emotions are running hot. Adulthood has a funny way of making us lose sight of some simple yet profound strategies for self-control. All you have to do is this. When you feel yourself getting frustrated or angry, stop yourself by taking in a deep breath and saying the number 1 to yourself as you exhale. Keep breathing and counting until you reach the number 10. The counting and breathing will relax you and stop you from taking rash action long enough to regain your composure and develop a more clear, rational perspective of the situation. Sometimes you might not even reach 10. For example, if you're in a meeting and someone abruptly interrupts you to blurt out something ridiculous that rubs you raw, you're unlikely to sit there silently while you breathe your way to 10. Even if you don't make it to double digits, you'll stop the flow of frustration and anger long enough to cool down your overheated limbic system and give your rational brain some valuable time to catch up. When your counting needs to be more subtle, there are lots of great ways to hide it from others. Some people will actually bring a beverage with them to every meeting they attend. This way, whenever they feel as though they may blurt out some emotionally charged statement, they take a drink. No one expects them to talk when they're drinking, so they have the time they need to calm down and count if necessary, organize their thoughts, and plan something to say that's more constructive. Reacting quickly and without much thought fans the flames burning in the emotional brain. Since a snappy comeback usually leads to a heated exchange where barbs are thrown back and forth, it's easy to find yourself in the midst of a full-blown emotional hijacking. When you slow things down and focus on counting, it engages your rational brain. You can then regain control of yourself and keep your emotions from running the show. Self-management strategy number 5. Sleep on it. In the timeless classic War and Peace, Leo Tolstoy wrote that the two strongest warriors are time and patience. The power of these warriors comes from their ability to transform situations, ease pain, and provide clarity. Sometimes situations that require our patience can feel so uncomfortable, dissatisfying, and rife with anxiety that we jump to action just to alleviate the internal turmoil. But more often than not, giving yourself that extra day, week, or month to digest the situation before moving forward is all you need to stay in control. And sometimes, while you're waiting, things may surface that make your decision that much easier to make. Time helps you to self-manage because it brings clarity and perspective to the thousands of thoughts that go swimming through your head when something is important. Time also helps you to gain control of emotions that you know would lead you in the wrong direction if you were to let them drive. It's that simple. All you need to do is force yourself to wait for the dust to settle before you make a move. Self-management strategy number 6. Talk to a skilled self-manager. Role models come in all shapes and sizes, and they influence our lives in ways that are hard to predict. One of the most powerful ways to learn self-management is to seek out skilled self-managers to learn their tricks. Many people's weaknesses in emotional intelligence are simply the product of skills that don't come naturally to them. In the case of people who are gifted in an emotional intelligence skill, they are usually very aware of what it is they do well, which makes it easy for you to learn from them. First, find a person whom you consider to be a master self-manager. If you don't feel that you can spot a skilled self-manager on your own, you can always have someone take the test that comes with this book. Offer to take your self-management whiz out for lunch or coffee. Explain that you're seeking improvement in this skill and ask him or her to review the self-management section of this book before the meeting. During the meeting, share your specific goals for improved self-management and ask what tactics he or she relies on to self-manage so well. Be sure to share the emotions and situations that give you the most trouble. You're bound to learn some unique and effective ways to manage yourself that you would have otherwise never been exposed to. Before you leave the meeting, write down the best tips and choose a couple that you can begin trying immediately. Ask your self-management whiz if the two of you can meet again after you've had a chance to try the suggestions out. Self-management strategy number 7. Smile and laugh more. Did you know that when you laugh and smile, your face sends signals to your brain that you're happy? Your brain literally responds to the nerves and muscles in your face to determine your emotional state. So what does this mean for self-management? When you're stuck on a frustrating or distressing thought, forcing yourself to smile counteracts the negative emotional state. If you work in customer service, or any time you need to look upbeat when you're really not up for it, making yourself throw on a large, legitimate smile where your cheeks push upwards will trick your mind into feeling the mood you need for the moment. French university researchers measured the power of a smile by having two groups of subjects read the same comics page from the newspaper. One group of subjects was instructed to hold a pencil in their teeth while reading, which activates the muscles used in smiling, while the other group held the pencil with their lips, which does not activate the muscles used in smiling. Those who were unknowingly smiling found the cartoons far more humorous and had a better time while reading them than people in the group that weren't smiling. You can also use smiling and laughter to lift your mood by watching a show or reading a book that you know you find funny. This can feel like an odd choice when you're feeling down, but it's a great way to override the negative emotions and clear your head, especially if your down mood is paralyzing your judgment. Smiling and laughter won't eliminate feeling down, and they shouldn't. Every mood has its purpose. But it's nice to know you have an out when you need to put on a happy face. Self-management strategy number 8. Set aside some time in your day for problem solving. You experience hundreds of emotions every day, some of which you're not even aware. You spend your day bouncing around from feeling to feeling, which can lead to making some decisions at inopportune times. Think back through some of your recent decisions, and you'll likely find that the decisions you made while hurrying through your day were seldom as effective as those made with some planning and clear thinking. The only way to ensure that you have the right space to make good decisions is to set aside some time in your schedule for problem solving. Just keep it simple. A 15-minute period each day where you turn off your phone, walk away from your computer, and take time to just think is a great way to ensure your decisions